Been nearly 3 months since women across Iran started rising up in revolt against the Islamic government. And yesterday, the regime carried out the first execution of a person who was arrested in those demonstrations. Horrific scenes of violence have been filtering out in social media videos. But hearing from the women actually who are marching in the streets is almost impossible, obstructed by a state-enforced communication blackout and the significant risk to their safety. It's been so hard to hear from the women themselves as we've been trying to report this important story. Despite this, brave women inside Iran continue to go to great lengths to speak out, including the people you're about to hear from. We've changed their names for their protection, and they say it's vital you hear their message. Our Middle East correspondent, Alison Horn, has this special report.
It's nearly midnight when my phone starts receiving a flurry of text messages. They're from Fatima. She's just returned home from a protest and she's been shot, but it's not the first time.
Well, I've been shot 4 times, each time with different bullets. Once we were chanting in the street that they attacked us and started shooting, I escaped and my leg was shot by a small shot cartridge. I think they call it slug, made by lead. And my friend ride me home, and there I took the bullet out and make it disinfected.
Fatima sends me photos showing several giant welts forming around bullet wounds on her legs. She'll treat these newest injuries at home, too scared to seek medical help.
As you may know, we can't go to clinics or hospitals for these kind of injuries, since some regime forces are always there, and if you go there, you will be arrested.
Women like Fatima have been rising up across all corners of Iran, fighting against the oppressive Islamic regime. They chant the slogan, Women, Life, Freedom, using the only tool they have, their voice. Iranian regime forces that include police, security, and even plain-clothed private citizens pounce on demonstrations to shut down the dissent. Fatima says she's seen brutality and unchecked violence.
It seems like a war zone indeed, and sometimes it even gets worse, turns into a hunting ground. They put gun lasers on us and move it all over our body, or put small spotlights toward our faces to frighten us and make us leave the scene.
Sometimes protests are organised and advertised in encrypted chat rooms to get maximum attendance. Others erupt spontaneously on the street when small groups start chanting and are then joined by others. Another protester, Mina, tells me how guards stick together in groups of 20 or more, blocking entrances to alleyways and escape routes. They shoot into the crowds and even at bystanders who are caught up in the protests.
I see a real battlefield. Blood is everywhere. It's foggy. You can barely see what's going on around you. You hear different noises. You hear people shout while trying to run away. The suppressors attack them, shoot gas tears towards them, hit them by electrical or non-electrical buttons. They shoot people in the head. They go for the eyes,
These protests are dangerous, which worries Mina.
First of all, I don't tell my mom that I'm going to participate because I don't want to put her under any pressure. I don't want to make her nervous. I tell some of my friends. They sometimes ask me to take good care of myself. They sometimes try to stop me from going. But my answer to them is a saying in Farsi. We say, my blood is not more colorful or is not more red than the others. meaning that the value of my life is not higher than the others.
It's hard to know exactly how many people have been killed since the protests started. The Norway-based Iran human rights group say they verified the deaths of 448 people at the hands of security forces, including 60 children. A recent hearing by the UN's Human Rights Council has heard harrowing testimony of children as young as 10 being gunned down in the street and women being raped and bludgeoned to death. Mina says she lives in a state of fear.
Before going out, I take a good look at myself in the mirror and I look at my dress and think to myself if that's the last dress I'm going to wear. If this is the dress I'm going to get killed in. The only thing I really think about when I'm in the streets is my mom. I don't know what she's gonna do after me.
These women say having their messages shared with the world gives them hope, but communicating with us leaves them vulnerable. If their anti-regime content is detected, they'll be arrested. So Fatima leaves her phone, wallet and ID at home in case she's detained at protests.
I wear mask to cover my face and bring extra clothes with me, my backpack to change my clothes in case of hitting by paintball bullets in order not to be tracked and targeted. I also have cigarette, napkins soaked in vinegar, but both to use against lacrimator effects and first aids, painkillers in case of being shot.
Despite the fear and adrenaline, there's a genuine camaraderie between demonstrators. Mina says strangers stop to help one another and shop owners open their doors to provide refuge for escapees.
I'm afraid for my friend's life. I cannot take my eyes off them when we are running, when we are in the streets. I look back, I look around to see, to make sure they are around, to make sure that they are still alive.
The 16th of December will mark 3 months since the start of the revolt in one of the boldest challenges to Iran's clerical leadership since the 1979 revolution. Women like Fatima say they won't stop, spurred on by a basic desire for human rights and a goal to bring down their Islamic government.
Freedom always has a price. For us, in this very moment in Iran, it is our blood, and we are paying for freedom with our blood.
Chilling. Iranian protester Fatima, ending that report by our Middle East correspondent Alison Horn, and you're listening to RM Breakfast.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.